Welcome to the Digiday Deep Dive. I'm in London and I am joined by our UK editor, Jess Davies.
Hi, Brian.
This is exciting time. So I've spent the last week in Europe. UK is still Europe for now. And I've been bombarded with GDPR notices. It's been a wonderful experience.
Are you looking forward to going back?
No, I want to talk about GDPR. You've been covering it for us for a while. Very basic. Who wins?
Ooh, I wish there was a short answer to that. It's funny. I mean, it started off very much the theory being that publishers would be the winners. They have the first-party data, which is going to be gold dust under GDPR. They have the access to their audience. They have the easier way, the easier route to their audience and asking for consent. But of course, one of the biggest fears at the moment is that they're going to lose some of that audience data. There's going to be some shrinkage because not everybody will necessarily give consent. But ultimately, that's a line of argument. Then on the flip side, of course, they're potentially going to suffer from programmatic revenues dropping as a result of it. But that might just be in the short term.
Okay, so losers, though, definitely ad tech companies.
I think so. I mean, we've already seen some leave Europe. I don't think that that's just down to GDPR, personally. I think it was sort of the nail in the coffin. But I definitely think that that loom escape might get a little bit smaller.
Okay.
It's got to, right? Because they just don't have the easy access for that consent. But that's another thing, just to say why it's tricky for publishers at the moment, is because ad tech vendors need them really for consent. So a lot of them feel a little bit like the burden is on them to sort of be a vehicle for consent for some ad tech vendors. So
you recently wrote about, and you've written a couple times about how Google is approaching GDPR, and it's given, you actually wrote the story. I'm going to toot your horn for you. Like, you wrote the original story about publishers pushing back on this Google approach, which was basically using, it seemed to me like it was just using their Google's leverage in order to force publishers to get the consent for them. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the trade bodies came out and objected to it, but we were first, right? And then you recently wrote again about this approach that Google's taking, and publishers are still uneasy with it. Explain a little bit what's going on there.
Well, it felt as though there was a time when all the attention was on Facebook because of the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and Google was sort of quietly in the background doing clever things. The problem, the issue here is really, really complex, because the interpretation of the law is so broad that Google has taken a very different interpretation of it to what publishers believe is the spirit of it. So essentially, Google has said that it wants publishers to gain consent on its behalf for certain use of its products. And it's also said that in doing so, it wants to be a co-controller, which gives it more control over the use of that data. But
what's the problem? This sounds reasonable.
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem was the way it was done, I think. A lot of publishers I've spoken to have said it was a bit of a take it or leave it. They don't have to, you know, work with it. But of course, a lot of publishers, you know, do have to work with,
yeah, because they're dependent on Google, right? So it's like, oh, if you don't do this, it's okay, but you just won't have access to any of our ad tech stack, any of our demand.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, Axel Springer has been very vocal about that. It's actually the core reason, I think, why they're supporting so openly the IAB's consent and transparency framework, which not all publishers have liked quite so much, but is being quite open about the fact that if we don't unite together and support that framework, then Google is going to sort of muscle in.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a total scramble going on right now ahead of May 25th. It's going to be a glorious day here.
Complete scramble.
When you wake up on May 25th,
oh,
GDPR day.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
finally here.
Yeah.
But there's a giant scramble going on right now, and people are taking different approaches when it comes to consent. And I guess in my experience of getting all of the notices, I think some people are taking a, shall we say, expansive view of GDPR And it seems like people are trying to get like an A for effort.
Oh yeah.
Do you see that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've had the same. I think everyone is having the same. You can see on social media everywhere, everyone's complaining about the amount of emails they're getting. Some of them I've never heard of. I'm sure at some point I've put my email address into something or they've bought that data of someone, but I'm now getting a lot of emails from companies that I've not heard of, who I should have really been weeded out of their database by now, given I've never communicated with them. But yes, all sorts of different examples of how I think one was saying, if you continue using our products, then we'll take that as consent,
yeah.
Which is totally off the mark. But
there's a lot of that also on sites too. Like, I mean, I noticed I went to the New York Times from here and it was like, we use cookies and other technologies. That's rather vague. And if you continue using the site, you consent to our use of cookies and these unnamed other technologies.
Yeah.
That's kind of fast and loose.
It is, but there's also a bit of a fear of putting off consumers really with too many lists. If they have lists of ad tech vendors and partners and things in their initial messages.
Oh, I understand
messages.
Not like listing the sort of Lumascape that they're crunching data with. It just seems, I'm not a lawyer or a GDPR expert, which I want to get to. But it would seem like this is a bit of a shortcut than what is actually enunciated in the GDPR.
Definitely. I think because there's so much chaos around it, and I think because certainly the UK regulator, the ICO, has said that as long as you're showing some willing, some sign that you've tried, even if it's a C-minus try, at least you've tried.
Yeah, everyone's everyone's going for the gentleman's C here,
yeah,
I
absolutely.
Think.
I've not seen any A stars
no.
yet.
No. And I guess the big question is, there's a lot of uncertainty around this. And, you know, whenever there's uncertainty, the wonder of capitalism is a lot of experts come rushing in to fill the void.
Absolutely.
And this is something that you wrote about that we published today, actually, which is about this cottage industry of experts that have suddenly popped up when it comes to GDPR.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually we're in WeWork right now, but there's a couple people like in a little glass cube around the corner from us that have like written on the walls, like, ask us about GDPR.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they're GDPR experts too.
With a caveat of no law degrees. Yeah, you don't need to have any kind of law degree, apparently. It's preferable. But there's no actual defined qualification unless you're a DPO, a data protection officer, where there are some guidelines from the ICO mm-hmm. on what they need and what background they need. So yeah, there's been all sorts. I even just this morning after we'd published that article, but I was speaking with someone just this morning about how a charity had been taken, you know, for a ride because they'd used a supposed expert to help advise on their strategy and found that it was absolutely disastrous and they're having to mm-hmm. start again from scratch. And this expert just suddenly isn't receiving phone calls, suddenly isn't responding to emails. And it's things like that that are hopefully will be weeded out after the 25th when people will realize that they don't know what they're talking about.
I bet we could find like several people that have gone from Y2K experts to SEO whizzes to social media thought leaders to GDPR experts.
Gurus. At least no one's
gurus.
Used the word guru yet.
One other thing that you had written about this week, which was an explainer about what a CMP is. I'm so glad that GDPR is giving us new acronyms for our WTF series.
I thought you'd like that. So these are interesting. I mean, essentially the idea of them is fairly simple. It's a function that companies will have.
Nothing
will
is
have.
Simple with GDPR.
This
Come
is
on.
True. This is true. This is why I have grading
with
regular
the curve.
Migraines reporting about this. But it's essentially a function that lets a company capture data consent and store it and then pass it along the supply chain so that other partners in its supply chain that it's agreeing to gain consent for can also see what they have the right to use.
So it's like it's a tool that's for sale out there?
It is. There are vendors that supply it, but a publisher can build its own. I mean, Axel Springer has built its own. The IOB is suggesting that everyone that works in its framework has one. But it's essentially, it stands for consent management provider. So it's whoever has that function of gathering the data, and then the responsibility of passing on the information around what data can be used by other partners. So essentially it's the data controller.
Okay. This sounds terribly complicated.
Am I boring you yet?
It's not boring. It's just, it's scary from an American perspective. So one of the things I'm noticing back in America is there is like a conspiracy theory fringe, particularly in the ad tech community, that says really at the end of the day, GDPR is just Europe trying to get revenge on the fact that just about the entire digital revolution has bypassed it.
Is that really, that's what's
cynical.
Being said?
That's very cynical.
Very cynical. I think there'd be people who would disagree with that here.
You think it's for the consumer? It's.
I think a lot of people here feel that that is definitely the purpose of, the regulators. Mm-hmm. I feel like American companies have a very different relationship, obviously, with data privacy.
That's a euphemism.
Absolutely.
We are
How
all
would you
about,
describe it?
We are grubby capitalists to our core. Anything that can be sold, data or otherwise, we will sell it.
Absolutely.
We're great
there
monetizers.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, ad tech companies here, I mean, they're mainly American.
Yeah.
So I was talking about
well,
this
that's
with
why
somebody.
They're cynical about this is yeah. because like, and that's the question of who gets whacked. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's very unclear. I don't think that the ICO has an appetite to go after Google or Facebook with their army of the world's like best lawyers. No way. No way. So who do they go after? Are they going to go after a British company and put them out of business and be blamed for job losses? Or are they going to go after some like random American ad tech company that nobody here has ever heard of?
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be interesting to see. I think everyone is going to be watching for that. I'm interested to see if there's going to be, on May 25th, if there's going to be a bit of a lull and a bit of a, you know, silence before the storm, or whether there's going to be immediate action.
Well, the question is who's going to get whacked? I just thought, do you have any sense, or you have no idea?
No idea. Okay. I wouldn't want to put money on it.
Okay. Jess, thank you very much. It's been a good trip.
Thank you, Brian. Please come again.
I will. We'll be back next week with a new deep dive.